all right?
What?
What?
Preach the word, brother.
Before we get started this evening, I'd like to ask you to remember Brother Philip and his family in your prayers. The Muslims are on the warpath in the Middle East, and they've gotten him fired from another job, and all that has to do with Christianity. Y'all understand what that's all about. And you know, some of these problems are so monumental that all we can do is pray. So I would like to ask you to be prayerful on Philip's behalf, as the situation over there is difficult, to say the least, for him. So as I've been keeping y'all up to date on the brother that's working in Dubai, I'd like to ask you to pray for him. And matter of fact, before we continue with our lesson, let's just take a minute and do that, okay? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we lift up our brother Philip Ganta and his wife and his children as they work in Dubai, Father, and you know the problems surrounding preaching Jesus there. And Father, Satan is having a field day, it seems, with Brother Philip and his family. And Father, we ask you to straighten that situation out, to continue opening doors for him as he converts people to you. Father, we lift up the service to you and thank you so much for your son Jesus, and it's through him that we pray to you. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you about forgiveness and heavenly health. That's what I've given a little title to. I want to just read to you. I put a scripture down that I want to read before we get into this. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." So we want to be thinking about forgiveness tonight and how important that is. My grandmother, she has had heart disease forever. And it got so bad about 20 years ago, she had had heart attacks and this type of stuff. Only 20% of her heart now works. And it's been that way for 20 years. That's not a good sign, you know. But she takes care of herself and she keeps going. Well, when I was thinking about heart disease and all the things that cause that, and I know a little about it, but I know that, you know, there's some things we can do to make our lives less susceptible to that. But there's some things that get in the way. Cholesterol, bad, not getting enough exercise, and all this type of stuff can get in the way. And you know, it made me think of Dolores Trimble. Dolores has had some heart trouble here in the past week or so. She's not here this evening, but that's weighing heavy on her, and then a large part of her heart quit working. So heart disease is really something that's important. When we talk about heart disease, everybody perks up and listens in closely, because the heart is kind of the center of life for our body, because it pumps the blood, which is the life, through our veins, you know. Well, today, or this evening, I want to talk about spiritual heart disease, because spiritual heart disease is more deadly than heart disease. Because spiritual heart disease has eternal consequences, okay? It's not just a one-time thing. It will last forever. But I'm thinking about one of the biggest things that will cause spiritual heart disease. Now, there's some other things that we talk about that cause spiritual heart disease. Anger that's not kept in control or in check. Pride and arrogance. We can talk about all these things that affect the heart, but church, I want to talk to you this evening about spiritual cholesterol. Unforgiveness, or the lack of forgiveness. When we are not willing to embrace forgiveness in our life, that will clog us up spiritually, and it can and will unchecked, kill us spiritually. In the late 1600s, there was a famous poet named Alexander Pope. Have you ever heard of him? Okay, well, at least some people. Okay. He wrote this famous saying, which you'll probably recognize. To err is human, but to blank is divine. To forgive is divine. And I like that. If you mess up, that's human. But when you're forgiven somebody, that only comes from one place. That comes from God. And I like that. Charles Swindoll brought the meaning a little bit closer to home in a book that he wrote called The Tale of the Tardy Ox Cart. Doesn't that sound interesting? I'm going to have to read that book. But it says this, we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. But we are most like God when we forgive. I don't know what the book's all about, but I like that statement, don't you? We're most like... You know what, church? If I can accomplish one thing in my life, I hope I can become a little bit more like God. That's my goal, my desire. I have a thirst to be like God. I fall short, but I want to be like God, and God is a God of forgiveness. So this evening, I want to ask you to read a story with me in Matthew 18. I'd like to turn that way. Matthew chapter 18. As we prepare to talk about forgiveness, Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Just take a moment and read this. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slave. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe me. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling. And he went and threw himself, and he threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave! I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. What a story. But I want you to think about for a minute why Jesus told the story of the king and the slave and forgiveness. He told that story in response to a question by Peter. Peter asked Jesus, hey Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Up to seven times? I want you to know, church, I am embarrassed to hear Peter ask that question. I am more more embarrassed that I sat on the edge of my seat waiting for the answer. You know what I'm saying? How many times do I got to put up with these people around me that say one thing and do another? How many times do I have to forgive someone that does something against me? What's the limits? How much do I have to endure? Is that the heart of a Christian? But do you find yourself feeling that way sometimes? Jesus clears up the matter. 70 times 7. Now, I know sometimes if you're like me, you feel like getting out the calculator, figuring up what number we're at. You know, sometimes people push you to that, won't they? But Jesus does not put a mathematical number on it, but He puts an infinite number on it, doesn't He? That's the context for what we're talking about. You forgive, and you keep on forgiving. That's the message that Jesus says. And it is that context by which Jesus goes into His story about the king and the slave. And He makes this comment as He begins, "For this reason." For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. So He takes Peter's question and He tells this story about a king and a slave. So when we think about how we understand the story, it's in relation to the question, isn't it? Because He said it is. In our story, one of the king's slaves was brought to him because he owed the king 10,000 talents and he was not paying it back. Now the slave had made some kind of, obviously, a financial arrangement with the king. The slaves during the first century, if you do a little bit of study, were not the typical slaves we're thinking about today that have no identity or anything like that. Slaves in the first century had the ability to work and earn money and that sort of thing. Some of them did. And this slave had made some kind of arrangement and he owed his king 10,000 talents. And he come up short. Now the king, or the honest thing that the slave should have done was pay back the money. You know, if you've been watching the news, just today, or yesterday, a bank failed. Have you seen that? One of our big banks in the U.S. failed and the FDIC had to step in and cover those funds. Because there are people who have borrowed money and not paid it back. And then they step back and they say, well, you know, I just couldn't make it. You know, I just couldn't. They stand back and they make all kinds of excuses about why they can't pay it back. Church, we know that anytime we borrow money that we are putting our word to something, don't we? You wouldn't think you'd need to have this conversation with church members, but you do. Anytime we borrow money, we're obligated to carry through with our word for repayment, and so was this man. We don't want to look at the story and say, look, this guy fell on financial hard times. Well, sure he fell on financial hard times, but he had an obligation to the king that he was not able to meet. And to that, the king says, you're going to prison, buddy. You can't pay, you're going to jail, along with your wife and kids. Got to stop for a second and talk about this. Sin affects the people around us, doesn't it? Do you know, parents, when you set a good example for your kids and they end up following the Lord, you have helped create that. You have shared Jesus with them. You have led them. When you don't follow the Lord, when you don't pay your bills, you're also setting an example in another way, aren't you? And God doesn't want us to be about that. The king says, you know what? You're going to jail. And your wife and kids are going to jail. So what does the slave do? He falls down prostrate before him and he begs, please don't send me to jail. Please don't send my wife and kids. Don't send me to jail. Please, I beg of you. And to that, what did the king do? Okay, well, I'm not going to send you to jail, but you're going to pay me back with interest, late charges. Is that what the king said? The king says, you know what? I'm not going to send you to jail. Oh, by the way, I forgive your debt. Wow, don't you wish a mortgage company would call up and do that for you? I'm not only not going to prosecute you, but I'm going to forgive what you owe. I'm going to erase it like it never existed. Now, how would you... Let's say some hard times come upon your life. And you know what? I know that in this group, hard times have come upon some of us. All of us, probably from some time to time. Hard times come, and you're struggling, and for some reason you just can't make it, and you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, and what happens? Usually you get pounded, right? How would you like this? You're forgiven. Debt's gone. No charge. I'd feel pretty good about that, wouldn't you? That's what the king did here. The king set the ultimate example of forgiveness. The king could have thrown him in jail. The king could have had him tortured. The king could have done all kinds of things. But the king chose to forgive. Something incredible. And so it is with God. You see, we deserve death because all of us chose to sin. But our king chose to forgive us. He chose to put forgiveness out there. A forgiveness that keeps no record of wrong. A king that loves us deeply from the heart. I want you to think of and I want you to remember that forgiveness doesn't come cheap. It costs somebody. The king in our story forgave a debt. And when he did, it cost him 10,000 talents, didn't it? When Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, did it cost him something to forgive our debts? It cost him his life. But he was willing to do that for us. But the slave, after coming out of that experience, he goes down and he's walking down the road rejoicing at such a wonderful thing that happened to me, and he runs onto somebody and he says, hey, you owe me $100. Okay, do the math in your head, whatever. You make the denarii translation. You owe me some money. Pay up. What'd you say? You can't pay? Is that what you said, sir? She said she couldn't pay. Send her to jail. Hey, take her away. Sarah says, no, I can't. Give me a little bit more time. Be patient with me and give me a little more time. Have you heard those words before? That's exactly what the slave said. Do this for me and I will repay you. Nope, forget it. You're out of here. You're gone. I'm amazed at that, aren't you? Because the times I feel the most compassion is when I've been compassionate too. And here this guy goes out, and he must have had some cockle burrs in his heart. You know what that is? Sand burrs, stickers, thorns. This guy wasn't doing too good. And he got ugly with somebody over 100 denarii compared to 10,000 talents. imagine that. Had the person thrown into jail. Oh, but remember what happens here. Some of his fellow slaves, they see what happened, and the text says it grieved them. And they went and told the king about it. So the king calls the slave back to his presence. He says, "You wicked slave." Modern day translation, "You dirty, rotten rascal. How dare you, after I forgave you all this, to go out and treat someone else like this?" Scolded him, didn't he? Oh, but man, you don't know the half of it. Then he tells him, he throws him into jail, hands him over to the tortures until he can repay what he owed. Now I want you to stop and think about the dynamics of that situation. The slave owed his money, the king forgave it. Now the king pulls him back up and he says, I'm revoking my forgiveness. You owe that money and you're going to pay it. Once forgiven, always forgiven. Once saved, always saved. Falls apart in view of this. The king calls him right back and says, "Oh, you're going to pay this money now." But he doesn't throw him into prison. He says he hands him over to the torturers. We're not just going to hold you in captivity and make you live down here at this little jail facility and do work stuff during the day. We're going to have you beat and flogged and tortured. Your forgiveness has went away, buddy. In the same way that you forgive others, you will be forgiven. Have you heard Jesus say that before? Oh man, is that serious? That our Heavenly Father would even forgive us in the first place is a miracle. But church, we have a responsibility to that forgiveness. John chapter 8 tells us a story about a woman caught in adultery. And she was brought before Jesus as a test to Jesus. But they say, this woman was caught in adultery. The law says to kill her. What are we going to do? And they look to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Gets in a big theological discussion, right? No. Bends down and writes in the sand. You ever did that? Probably writing forgiveness, if I was guessing. Or where were you last Friday night? That's another good one. He's writing something. And he says, "Let you who is without sin cast the first stone." You brought this woman here to judge her. You have a lack of forgiveness, to say the least, in your heart. You're here to condemn her and test me. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jesus says, if you have no sin, you throw the first stone. And what happened? They all left. And Jesus looks to this woman and he says, "Where are those that have condemned you?" He says, "They're all gone." He said, "I don't condemn you either." He says, "Go your way and sin no more." Now there's your picture of Jesus. Jesus could have looked at her and said, "How could you do this? How could you violate the precious laws of marriage given to us by God?" He could have lectured her. He could have went into all that. But what did he do? He pronounced forgiveness. Just the same as he was hanging on the cross of Calvary saying, "God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Have you ever been forgiven when you didn't deserve it? Yes is the answer if you're a Christian. Church, church, we have a responsibility to forgive each other. We have a responsibility to forgive those people around us, even when they don't deserve it. But we have a tendency to qualify our forgiveness. I'll forgive you if you come and ask me. I'll forgive you if I see some improvement in your life. I'll forgive you back here if you get down and do 20 push-ups. I'll put some qualifier on it. I'll forgive you if. And Jesus says, man, that is not the way to forgive people. You say, well, I can't forgive brother so-and-so because he just off over here not even talking to me. And I think about the verses in Matthew that says, if your brother has sinned against you, go to him. Well, and if he's got the problem, what I got to go to him for? We make all these justifications. You know what God says? God says, you forgive people. I'm not giving you the option, he says. If you're going to have a heart like mine, if you're going to be like Jesus, that is, you have got to forgive people. Even if they don't deserve it. Even if they haven't asked for it. Even if they're being a buzzard or a knucklehead or a meatball. That's people is contrary and not really making you feel like forgiven. You ever been around people like that? If we are going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to look around and we're going to be forgiving. I love the fact that I've been forgiven. I love the fact even more that I don't deserve it. It is my God loving me so much that He just willing to reach out and give me a hand. Church, we got to be that for each other. Because there will be times, there already have been times, when we will sin against each other, right here in this body. There will be times, and there have been times, when we have hurt each other, right here in this body. In church, one of the things that need to be an identifying mark of the Cedar Lou Church of Christ is people need to look at us and say, you know what? Those folks right there, that's the most forgiving bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. Because when they say that, you know what they're going to be saying? Those folks are like Jesus. Could be tonight. You got something weighing in your heart that you haven't let go against a brother or sister in Christ, or someone at work, someone that you know in the community. And I want to tell you that if you have that, you have spiritual heart disease. That spiritual heart disease will start setting in and it will start limiting your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. That spiritual cholesterol will start slowing your spiritual steps down, and it will kill you. I want to beg you, as a fellow Christian, to be forgiving. What does the text say, the last verse? Read the last verse. I'm not even there. I'll tell you what it says. Forgive people from the heart. Now there's a forgiveness that comes because I have to. I'm a Christian. I have to forgive them. And then there's a forgiveness that says, hey, an embracing forgiveness. The forgiveness of a father who stands at the edge of the driveway, Luke chapter 15, waiting for his son to come home. Let's cook a beef and let's have a party. My son has returned. Might be someone here tonight that needs to return to the Lord. Forgiveness is waiting from this congregation and from the Lord both. If you have a need, would you come as we stand and sing?